payments. And now we're looking at the demonic mentality. Asatyama pratishtam te jagadahuranishuram apuraspurasam bhutam kimanyat kamahoitam. They have so many godless ideas. And prabhavanti yuga pramanaha kshayaya jagato vitaha. They create so many nasty things, ugra karma, kshayaya jagato hitaha, to bring destruction to the world. Prabhupada said indirectly, this verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, of which the whole world is today very proud. At any moment, war may take place and these atomic weapons may create havoc. Such things are created solely for the destruction of the world, and this is indicated here. Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society. They are not meant for the peace and prosperity of the world. Okay. Any questions so far? Why don't you come in back from Minnesota over to here? Oh, well, okay, why don't we adjust the other way? This is better than those who want to be in the sun can be in the sun, and those who want to be in the shade. Have it. But that means you have to adjust. Copyright or something like that. Sorry about this.
Okay.
Where are we? We're
nine.
Nine.
Nine. Yeah, Prabhupada explained that karma hoitakam, that the cause is only karma. One explanation is, Prabhupada said that it's just like this attraction between atomic particles, you know, it's like, there's that. Then, I'll give you another example. We did a radio show one time in New York, one of those late night radio shows, in which the host specializes in being nasty. Probably you're familiar with such shows. So it was Sudama Swami and a few other devotees, and I was there. And it was a late night show. It started at like 11 o'clock at night or something. And we went up into this skyscraper building, which was all deserted, at up to the 30th floor or something, and everything's dark, but there's this studio there, right? And there's this guy who, with a kind of a silver bracelet and somewhat gay vibe to him, but anyway, fellow. He cordially welcomed us and then began his show. His first question, I was a brahmachari then, his first question was to Dhamma Maharaj, Your Holiness, what exactly is it that makes you so holy? That was his opening line. So we went back and forth a little bit on this and that, and of course he had the advantage because he could, you know, address his remarks to one person. And if that person started, you know, getting ahead with him, he could just switch to another person. You know, if someone was too fast, he could switch to a slow. So he had the advantage. So we went on like that for about half an hour. It was like a two-hour show or something. Then we got a call from Tosan Krishna, as it was back at the temple. He said, just get out of there. yeah, this guy is like... So we did. We just, after the break, we said, you know, thank you very much, and goodbye. And we left the studio and left him there alone. And as, you know, as we were leaving this, you know, empty building with all of its darkness from the 30th floor and something and this little red light on the studio, they had a, they don't call them monitors, what are they? This little broadcast thing where you could hear what he was saying, you know. Said, but only the second time in my career, my guests have walked out on me. And he had like an hour and a half to fill all by himself. So he started filling it, you know. And we could hear him vituperating, really, you know, just with his nasty monologue that, you know, there's no God, there's no this, there's only the penis and the vagina.
Oh my God.
That's the cause of creation. So he's a pretty close fit for
this sloka.
Midnight Yoda.
Yeah. Actually, Sloka H.
What night for all beings?
Sloka H. Yeah.
Does that answer the question? Okay, another question? Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Kama Masrit Yadush Puram, Tamba Mana Madan Vitaha. Mohad grihit vasa graham grahan pravartante ashuti vrataha. Very clear verse. Many salient points. Kamam ashritya dushpuram. Ashritya means taking shelter. We take shelter of Krishna. They take shelter of their own desires. Earlier we read, Sashantamapnoti nakamakami. Those who desire to desire. You know, they're agitating their minds. The more they can increase their own agitation, the more they're making progress. So they take shelter of kama, lust, and the business of trying to satisfy lust as their main business in life. That lust is dushpura. Dushpura means you never get your fill. Insatiable. Dushpura. Insatiable desires. As soon as one desire is fulfilled to some extent, more desire, you know, they never reach the end. Yes, now I'm satisfied. The more they get, the more they want. Kama Mashrita Dushpura. Dhamba Mana Madanvitaha. And they're absorbed, anvita, in the pride and false prestige, the conceit, mada, of pride and false prestige. They're puffed up. Dhamha, dhampo, tarpo, abhimanascha. Mana means false prestige, dhamba means pride. This is their mentality. And mohat grihitva asad grahan. By the power of illusion, moha, they're grabbing, grihitva. Grabbing. What are they grabbing? Asad grahan. Things that are impermanent. Asad, or unreal. Some insubstantial. They're trying to accumulate something which has no permanence. They're trying to enjoy something which lasts 2 seconds. They're trying for the impossible. They want to be immortal by scientific progress. They want to make this world a wonderful place by scientific advancement. They have so many dreams of what they'll accomplish, both for the world and for themselves. And it's all smashed by time. It's all moha, by illusion, that they're imagining these things. Vihitva asatra, just Hiranyakashipu. He had a plan to become immortal. Ravana had a plan to build a staircase to the heavenly planet. Yeah, that's another one. They want to go to the moon. They want to go to Mars. They, you know, so many things. Or they say they want to go. That's another thing. big aspirations for that which is impossible. They want to have peace and harmony, but they want to have godlessness at the same time. So, mohat guhitva asadgraha, grabbing for something which is impermanent. Asad. Or asadgrahan can also mean a bad thing. Asad means impermanent. Asad also means bad. You know, so what are they after? They're after cocaine. They're after, you know, you name it. All sorts of bad things. So asat means bad, and asat means illusory, temporary. Asat grahan. And pravartante, they're flourishing in asuchi vrata. Asuchi vrata means, asuchi, not just unclean, filthy. Asuchi means filthy. Filthy business.
And bound.
Yeah, that's like we take a vrata, Kartik vrata, you know, Nam vrata. So they take asuchi vrata. You know, I'll do any filthy thing for sense gratification. I had a cousin one time who was of a demonic mentality. He later wound up in, I think, a witness protection program or something, you know, serious criminal activity. But when I was a teenager, he told me, you know, if you want, what was it he said exactly? If you want to make it with women, you got to be ready to do anything. You know, that was like his mentality. Whatever, you want to be happy in this world, you got to be ready to do anything. Yeah, that's asuchi vrata. Doesn't matter how filthy, doesn't matter how rotten, doesn't matter how vicious, doesn't matter how pernicious, nasty. Asuchi vrata. They're warned that they're, rather they, the nastier it is, the better it is. If we can screw someone, good. You know, if we can get what we want, that's good, but if we can screw someone while doing it, if we can cause someone anguish while doing it, then that's still better. That's a truth of something. The Prabhupada here says, Ashuti Vrata, they're attracted by wine, women, gambling, and meat eating. Those are their unclean habits. Ashuti. Yes?
One could say that where's the. You hear me?
Yeah.
One could say where's the nature, the good nature in these people that they enjoy giving back to others. So, it's supposed to be a covering.
Yeah, it's a covering. Their good nature is there under big piles of unwanted things.
Like
that gangster. Yeah, Al Capone. Prabhupada mentions here they create some principles of religion. Induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principles of religion not approved by the Vedic injunctions. Although such demoniac people are most abominable in the world, by artificial means the world creates false honor for them. I was seeing yesterday some movie clips of one supposedly great holy man of India who's supposed to be an incarnation of God. And he was doing basically magic tricks. And cheating. You could see in the film how he was, you know, his hands disappear behind the cloth and then he's does, you know, talks and this and that, and then from his hand comes something wonderful. You know, simple magic, simple cheating, sleight of hand. And the person is also, there's credible testimony that he's a
child molester.
He had a pedophile.
Yeah.
Pedophile? A person who seeks sex with children.
Pedophile.
Pedophilia. But you see him being honored by huge crowds of people and government and ministers and very respectable leading people of India, you know, offering their namaskars and so on and so on. You know, to this person who's a cheap magician and a pedophile to boot. And on top of that, who has the impudence to claim to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to, you know, just stand there and smile while everybody else calls him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, while his followers broadcast it. So this is demonic. And people are accepting such people as avatars, as God incarnate on earth, and they're not even of the godly qualities, not even godly, what to speak of being God. They're of the demonic nature. You know, pedophilia is not a godly quality. Cheating the public is not a godly occupation. And claiming to be God oneself is the essence of being demonic. So these things are going on. The Prabhupada said the world creates a false honor for them. Spot on, right exactly to the point. Any questions?
There are many so-called friendly people in India also who chant holy names, but they're cheating people. They're doing, so what is their position?
If they're cheating, they're cheating. You know, cheat the holy name, cheat by chanting the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one is wearing tilak and neck beads to show that he's Kali chanting, that he's a disciple of Kali. He's a disciple of Kali. Kali chanting. Not a bona fide disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. He's a disciple of Kali. So what kind of person is a disciple of Kali? If you chant under proper guidance, even, you know, something is there, even they're chanting improperly, but they're committing huge aparads to use the holy name as a tool for cheating people. Is a super aparad. So they're doing that. What is their position?
They will go to the hell or they will go to the heavenly planet?
I doubt that we'll see them in the heavenly planet. You don't go to the heavenly planets by dint of cheating.
They chant holy name.
They chant holy name by offending the holy name. Their business of chanting is to offend the holy name. So you don't go to the heavenly planets by offending the holy name. Now, the fact that they're somehow chanting the holy name maybe gives them a little, you know, some sort of something. But it's so covered again with unwanted things that their position is not very good. I think it's warm enough we could all move back. Right? The sun is quite sunny. Wouldn't you say? Go to the old spot? You like the old spot? What do you think? The sun is moving.
No, the sun is stationary.
We're moving. Actually, we're both moving.
Let's take a look.
Yeah. So far, he's happy with small fruits, but you never know.
Well, that's, you know, everybody has to do that, but they're but generally speaking, they're good guys. Yeah, these Lungers are good guys. Huh?
Maharaj, this question to this religious head in India. Just last week there was a very big article in one of the magazines that the Indian government is also very, very strict. Like in the case of that last Shankaracharya was caught with all this. No politicians interfered when he's behind the bars.
Very, very strict means if they think that they're going to get caught in some sort of difficulty, then they're strict. Otherwise, they're nonsense rascals. So many big, big politicians are, you know, giving their endorsement to false incarnations of God. What's strict? If the government was strict, they'd have this such people run through or put in jail. What's strict? Where's the question?
What about, aren't there just like atheistic people that want to expose these types of people?
Huh?
Aren't there atheistic people?
Yeah, there's atheistic people who'd like to expose these guys. And, good. Some service.
Is it a bit too powerful, or are they a bit afraid to go after them, or?
No. Just, no, they do go after them. But, you know, they have powerful backing. They've cheated big, big people. So those big, big people are standing behind them. And you know, you open some hospitals and that kind of thing, and everybody thinks you're the greatest thing since who knows. It's big cheating. You know, in the name of Hinduism, in the name of whatever. Yeah, in the name of Allah also they do these things. Although I don't know, in Islam, I haven't seen the people go around claiming to be God and all of that.
Well, they're using it. The jihad, you know.
No one can claim to be God in
from
Islam.
From what I heard.
Because God's not a person. You can't claim to be God in Islam.
No, even I went to Turkey, and at some meeting, some people offered obeisances to me. And that was picked up by someone. Very bad. You never offer obeisances to anyone but Allah. That's their idea. So, you know, on that side it's good that these bogus incarnations of God, I think in Islam, are not found.
Mainly in Hinduism.
Hinduism is really...
Especially India is full of these people.
Yeah. Are we sending our book distributors there, by the way? We really...
It's closed.
Is it? How is it closed?
They have a badge.
Get a badge.
Yeah, they are charging 3,000 for Pakistan for entry.
How many? 3,000. But they're all coming here every day.
Yeah, they're coming here every day. Yeah.
They are not attacking with their program. They are
Our program is nicer. So, anyway, I'm sure Islam has its own. Every religious path is open to abuse. Just as every path of anything is open to abuse. Any charitable work can be abused. Any educational work can be abused. Any scientific work can be abused. Any religious work can be abused. So these things go on when demonic people find their way into science, into religion, into government, into education, into charitable work, into any department of human affairs. Once demons get going.
He's right on the
he's right above me.
He's right above
Thanks for the warning. Appreciate that. It's okay now, you know. He's fine. I'll just move up and let him have his, you know, he can have his domain and my little corner and we'll be fine. Now I think we're okay. So these things are going on. Yes?
As how we could logically explain from the point of logic to people who have demonic qualities that doesn't make sense with those demonic qualities to make society to function nicely.
Demoniac qualities? How you prove to them by logic?
Meaning what you said previously, that they want peace and prosperity, but
the demoniac, you can't prove anything to them. You can only challenge them in the presence of persons who aren't demonic, so that others can see. Demons, what will they do? You know, my dear demon, please be a nice. But even Prahlad preached to his father, demon. Just tell it like it is. Prabhupada gave an example that there were some devotees on a morning walk in Texas, I think it was. And they were walking by the side of a lake, and the devotees pointed out that on the other side of that lake is the home of such and such big man, like Howard Hunt or somebody, big multimillionaire. And we tried to go there, but we were blocked by the guard, so we couldn't speak to him. Prabhupada said, "What would you have said?" They said that we would say that, you know, you're so wealthy, such a respectable man, big man, why don't you please just take these, you know, take to this Krishna consciousness and make your life successful. Prabhupada said, no, you should tell him that you're a rascal, that you're a thief, that everything is you've stolen from Krishna, nothing is yours, that you're just a big rascal and thief. So you can preach to him like that. We just put things on the line and let people take them or leave them. I mean, there's no one formula for approaching a demon. Okay, here's our demon line. If you're a demon, here's what we say to you. It's not such a open and shut thing as that.
I was more thinking about, like, you know, not really exactly the demon, but some, you know, half and half person.
Again, there's no formula that, you know, what do we say to people? We say according to the main thing to say is please take this book. Probably there won't be 2 minutes preaching this.
Yeah. I went to a very rich man in Bombay, an Indian. And every Indian knows the picture of Krishna. So, very big jeweler, Tribhuvan Dinji, you know, one of the richest men like in India. So somehow I got access to him. I went with a picture of a nice Radharas Vihari and I present him. And he's asking me, who's this? And I was so furious. And I just couldn't tolerate it. I said, this is Krishna. And everybody knows. I just walked out. But I lost my... He was rascal number one. He wanted all the money and he doesn't understand any language. He's asking, who's this?
And I meet this Kripalu's daughter in the Conch building day before yesterday. And three daughters are staying in the Conch building.
His daughter?
Yeah, his daughter. So all of them are here. Staying in the Conch building for last 1 week. And she told me that now you are here. Why don't come to us? You can help us and we can help you. And, those people are the cheaters. You need money. You are interested in money. She said that I will meet you again when you are head shiva.
That's nice. She gave you a benediction.
You mean what?
Yeah.
But from Maharaj, they all started to like our deities. I spoke to many of them, Hindi-speaking all of them. And they said, the most attractive sight. So this morning also I met another lady, I gave little tips and all that. She says, these guys are trapped and I think this is the right thing. So out of 3,000 who have come here, they are all coming, they are very fortunate to have.
Yeah.
Rather
you see, his own daughter, his own wife is coming every day to the program.
Yes, she is.
Well, we should speak on this chapter in the classes.
Shall we move forward?
Yeah.
Chintama paramayam cha pralyantam upashitaha kamo paphoga parama etavaditi nishchita Chintama paramayam cha. Chinta means anxieties. Their lust is insatiable, and therefore their anxieties are aparameya. Aparameya means immeasurable. Pralayantam upashvataha. Up until the point of death. Up to the point of death, they're simply absorbed in material desires, absorbed in their anxieties, absorbed in their plans for material enjoyment. Prabhupada gives the example, he's given it many times, that he knew some person who was dying and was requesting the physician, couldn't I just get a few more years? My plans are not finished. Huh? The whole life, and they're still thinking, you know, something more, never satisfied. So their anxieties up to the end of life, pralaya antam upashita. And what is their etavaditi nishchita? What is their conclusion? Kamo pabhoga parama. You can ask anyone, what's the highest thing in life? What's the greatest thing in life? What's your, you know, the greatest thing that you want to achieve, or that you could aspire for. And here's their answer. Kamo paphoga. Sense gratification. Kamo means basically, you know, if I can have sex and enjoy myself, that's it. And, you know, it comes under like sweet language sometimes, like, well, my idea of the goal of life is you know, to be the most you can be. To be the most you can be. Or to get the most out of life. Or to, how else do they put it? To realize my full potential. Or, you know, one of these other, like, soft ways of putting, you know, to gratify my senses as much as possible.
How about this? There's only one life.
There's only one life, yeah. Let me live it as a blonde. Fill in the blank, yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow or other, whatever's good for sense gratification, that's my goal in life. I was reading some high school yearbook, and the kids were telling about, you know, their goals in life. And one kid says, you know, like, I want to have my own garage and fix cars and you make a lot of money. And another girl says, you know, I want to meet Mr. Wright and have a lot of kids. And another one says, you know, I wanted this and I want, you know, full of, basically, here are my plans for sense gratification. Because they're not educated in any higher goal of life. It may be decent sense gratification or indecent sense gratification, but gratification of the senses, you know, what's wrong with that? Why, you know, don't you want to be happy? Don't you think that God put us on earth to be happy? Don't you think we were meant to be happy? Yeah, so what is this, be happy? It's gratify your senses. That's kama upabhoga. Sex life and sense enjoyment. That's it. That's what life is for. I mean, what is life for?
Natural.
It's natural.
Is it possible for someone who's who has some of the qualities of goodness to be averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Yeah, one can have some good qualities. That there are demons who are known to, like Hiranyakashipu is very austere, that's a good quality. The Ravana was a Brahmin and very learned, that was a good quality. But Harava Bhakta Shikutal Mahadguna, those good qualities are simply superficial. I've given the example several times. Yeah, criminal with, who's a gentleman, yeah.
So you cannot possess all these qualities in goodness and...
No, a person in the mode of goodness, how can he be full of lust? Lust means passion. So if you're full of lusty desires and sense gratification means, number one, you're ignorant, you don't understand what the world is about. So you're affected by ignorance. Number two, your desire, you're on fire with material longings and hankering. That's passion. Goodness means knowledge, contentment, simplicity, satisfaction of the mind, satisfaction. That's not what we're reading about here.
That's what you see, though. Everyone around them is getting old, and they think they're not going to get old, they're not going to be able to...
No, they may see it, but, you know, they'll squeeze as much as they can out of life, you know. They'll consult their doctors, they'll consult their bankers, they'll somehow or other, or they'll, you know, if they can't have sex, they'll enjoy sex through their progeny, you know. They'll watch, you know, they'll watch the family expand that way, and, you know, if they can't have it themselves, they'll fix up others with it. Or they'll pay money to watch others do it. You know, they can't do it anymore, but at least they can watch. You see, the Prabhupada talked about these old men in Paris going to the club. He saw it personally. Paying money to watch naked women. You know, these are guys like in their 70s and 80s. You know, what are they going to enjoy? But still, somehow or other, let us enjoy. Kamo papoga parama. Etavad. Etavad means that far. That's how far they go. Up to that point. Yes? Upa? Upa, I don't know what it's meant here. Upa boga means approaching sense gratification. Upa. Upa can mean different things. Towards sense gratification, approaching sense gratification. Let's see if there's enough comments on Upa Boga, rather than the state Boga. He doesn't comment on it.
Same thing with Upasrita.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the specifics of why they've chosen that prefix in these words. Why Krishna's chosen Upa Boga rather than straight Boga. Let's see if there's anything here. Good question. I just don't have a good answer. No, there's no comment here. Sorry. I don't have an answer for you.
Do you have faith in God? It's not dependent if you know that we're in
a person can be affected by ignorance and still have faith in God. We speak about devotional service in the mode of ignorance. A person is still addicted to things in the mode of ignorance, but he has this good quality that he has faith in God. It can be elevated. Something.
So ignorance could be predominant in his, would be predominant in his life.
I mean, ignorance would be
predominant in his life.
can be. But something, you know, just like most of the world, they're in ignorance. But there are some who are, though in ignorance, they have some piety, some idea of God. So something is there, despite being polluted by, you know, they're like animal killing, addiction to liquor, woman hunting, illegal business, but still they have some idea that there's God. Well, something is better than nothing. That's some hope for them. Better than those who are just, you know, forget God. God is an outmoded, mythological concept of primitive society. You know, those are the people who really...
If you have this vision in of mind in your mind, then you cannot run your business in India.
What's that?
That there is no God, there is no God. If you just speak like this, then you cannot run your business in India.
Yeah, it's not very... but if you say that you're God, then you can do big business in India. Yeah, I'm God. Or you can also be God. I'm generous. You can. You can. There are those. Any number can play. Asha pasa satira bandha. They're. Asha pasa means. Pasha means rope, and asha means hope. So they're entangled in a network of hopes and dreams. Thousands of them. Shatai, Badha. Badha means bound. They're still hoping, you know, hoping against hope that they can somehow be happy, somehow achieve what they wanted. And they wind up living these miserable lives, but still hoping that they can exploit the material resources and enjoy. Asha pasha shatayar badha. What about my wife? What about my family? What about my job? What about my health? What about my this? What about my that? What about my, what about my, what about my, what about my? Thousands of anxieties and fears. Out of the four propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, Prabhupada said the fearing propensity is the greatest. So, because their whole project is built on the fragile foundation of this body and illusory things and illusory relationships, they're always bound by so many hopes and anxieties. Kama krodha parayana. They're absorbed in, or yeah, in lust and anger. You get these, this, you know, these angry men. You know, the world sucks. Why? Because I couldn't get sense gratification. No, it's a lousy country and it's a lousy world. Life stinks. Why? Because I couldn't get, you know, I'm not getting what I ordered. So then, lust unfulfilled leads to anger. Or people, you know, I'm going to go shoot up a school or a, you know, whatever it is, kill my wife, or, you know, there's all this, you know, most of the violence, I think, that takes place, in, at least in civilized countries, is domestic violence. You know, she shoots him, or he shoots her, or he beats her over the head with a you know, meat cutter or something. So, why? Because they wanted sense gratification, and when they didn't get sense gratification, when their lust wasn't fulfilled, then the next thing is anger. And then there's these bitter divorces. I'm not speaking to you. Talk to my lawyer. Very common. Kama krodha parayana ihante kama bhogartam. And for the sake of sense gratification and the satisfaction of their material desires, anyayen artha sanchayan. They accumulate wealth, artha sanchayan, Anyayena, by other means, by black means. And we discussed that yesterday. You know, what won't they do for getting money? So many forms of cheating. You know, there's the false god business, the military, you know, start a war to for the sake of the economy or for the sake of your, you know, the economic advantages, basically to plunder. False taxes.
Arash, the legal means, is that in passion or ignorance?
Both. Passion, because, you know, in pure ignorance they'd just be sleeping. There's enough passion there to motivate them to go out and shaft people. So it's passion and ignorance, both.
Very nice word.
Anyayena artha sanchaya, for the sake of money. Yeah, and people are, like, breaking into houses and, you know, anything for money. Anyayena artha sanchaya. Somehow, you know, look at it, huge things. You know, there's always a scandal about this corporation or this executive that did this or did that. You know, how much money did they have to begin with? You know, huge fortunes. But it's, you know, the pleasure of getting more. At this point, it's no longer what the money can buy. The money itself is the object. You know, if I have 10 million and I can make it 11 million, you know, whatever I have to do. There's no need.
He's just practicing.
He's
just practicing.
For a monkey to be a monkey is good. The problem comes when the human beings are the monkeys. He's performing as described today. So wealth becomes an end in itself. You know, the people have enormous amounts of wealth. Wealth you can't even, you know, think about how, you know, billions, when you hear that people are billionaires or multi-billionaires. You know, how much money is that? You know, what can you do with that kind of money? You know, how much happier can you be? But they want more. By hook or by crook.
Like, for example, is that this man is 85 years old and he has billions of rupees, but he still wants more and more and more and more. And he's
this rascal.
Yeah, his friend.
His friend. He's all the disciples, the female disciples, and they are all are engaged in collecting money for him. These two, the customers, and this way they get money, lots of money.
So many things. Any sinful means. Endanger their lives, endanger their you know, next life. Doesn't matter. You know, somehow or other, get money, get more money. Anyayena artha sanchaya. Doesn't matter, white, black. Somehow get money, get money, get money. This is the demonic mentality. And the godly person's all right, this much Krishna sent, that's all right. Whatever. You know, comes of its own accord, without too much difficulty. Even, you know, I have more than I need, so give it away, give away the excess. And many Brahmins, they get, if it's more, then they just take what they need and the balance, distribute. Dana pratigraha. That's the person in the mode of goodness. Because what will money do for me except cause trouble? So better as much as I need and not more. Tena ta tena bhungita smagridha krishna skidhana. Then it will be good. Yes?
My devotees normally calm down.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same money, let's say.
Yes.
But the devotees over a period, they gradually calm down. So what happens to these guys? Like, even
they ratchet up. The persons who are pursuing godly life, they, you know, their thirst for sense gratification diminishes. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhada yastire cheta etar anabhidham stitam such they proceed to. They become situated in goodness and they become happy and satisfied. But the demons, they ratchet up their desires. They're going the opposite way. They, you know, what can I do to stimulate? You know, like you go into a drugstore and there's so many preparations for stimulating desire. You know, what can I, you take the, you know, the truck drivers and so on, everybody, you know, they're looking for something to turn themselves on. And we don't, you know, if we knew something that would turn ourselves off faster, we do know something. We chant the holy name. But if we could go to the drugstore and say, you know, do you have any pill that, you know, I'll never have any sex desire again? You know, we buy out the store. But they're looking for something that will increase their sex desire. In Ayurveda, there are such things, but they're meant for having children. That's not what they're doing. They just want to increase their desire. You know, they want to, they're already horny. They're already lusty and they want to be more lusty. You know, take a pill to double my lust. Great. And then, you know, rent a couple of movies and, you know, increment our, you know, boost our lust that way. Or go to a club and, you know, this and that. So they're just in the opposite. How to increase the fever. They already have a bad fever and they're thinking of how to increase it. That's ignorance. Passion and ignorance.
Right.
Yes?
Could it be that very poor people in this life, in their, you know, the lifetime before, they were demonic?
Oh, well, there's so many things. We'll find out what happens to the demonic in their next lifetime toward the end of the chapter. Stay tuned. Okay, next we get a really vivid depiction of the demonic mentality. Idam adya maya labtam imam prapsye manoratam idam astidam api me bhavishyati punar dhanam aso maya hata shatrur hanishe chaparan api ishuro ham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi adhyo bijanavan asni konyosti sadrisho maya yakshe dasyami modisha itya gyanavi mohita iram adya today maya labdham I've gained so much. And imam prapsye manoratam. Manorata means according to my plans, according to my schemes, I'll get more tomorrow. I've got this already, I'll get more. Idam asti idam api me bhavishyati punardhanam. So much do I have now, and it will increase. It will increase in the future, more and more. They're counting up their future assets. You know, this business will bring you this much a year, and I'll get this much from this, and this much from that. I've already gotten this much, I'll get more. Counting their money. Aso maya hata shatrur hanishye chaparan api. He's my enemy and I've killed him. And my other enemies I'll kill also. Literally this is going on. Where the people are killing their competitors. There was some, all the time, you know, people are having like, oh, where was I reading about?
Africa or something, the number two man in the government was found in a his helicopter. No, let's see. There was one guy, his helicopter had crashed. There was another guy. Someone commented that he managed to shoot himself both in the chest and the head.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Well, these are things that are going on all the time. We eliminate our competitors. And if we can't kill them literally, then we kill them figuratively. You know, we just smash them, we crush them, we kill them. You know, we do something so that they go belly up. We try to kill them in business, if not literally. If possible, we kill them literally. If not possible, then figuratively. So many we've done now, and we'll do more. We'll kill. You know, we've killed the Afghanis, and now we'll kill the Iraqis. We've killed the Iraqis, and now we'll kill the Iranis. Isharoham, aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. This is like the demonic mantra. I'm in control. Isharoham, I'm the controller. Or I'm God. Isharoham. Aham bhogi. I'm the enjoyer around here. Siddhoham. I'm perfect. Balavan. I'm powerful. Sukhi. I'm happy. This is their mentality. You know, they... And, you know, they may not come out and say exactly that, although sometimes they do. I'm the greatest, I'm the best, no one else out there who can do what I can do. But if you look at their mentality, Ishra, listen, I'm in charge here. Somebody, who was it? Gave me that film clip? Yeah, you gave me that film clip yesterday that showed... There's a funny clip. It showed this guy, the USS Missouri, right?
Yeah.
The guy's there. This is the USS Missouri. Alter your course 15 degrees south. Guy answers back. You alter your course 15 degrees north. And it goes back and forth. Listen, we're the USS Missouri. We're the, you know, the biggest this. This guy says... We're the lighthouse. Do what you want.
I remember this.
Oh my, we're the lighthouse.
The lighthouse. She just told me.
Oh no. Hare Krishna. Take that off.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. So
but that mentality is there. Listen, we're in charge around here.
Yeah.
Ishra. Prabhupada said material consciousness has two divisions. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. Ishra. You know, people want to be in charge. There's a thrill, you know, all the adrenaline just moves because we're in charge. Or I'm in charge. Everybody else is down and I'm up. I'm in charge. Even if it's you're in charge of your garbage truck or whatever. <you're in. laughs> And sex, you know, the same thing. Conquest.
Not only
demonic.
Huh? Not only demonic.
Yeah, these demonic tendencies are there all over the place. I mean, ultimately, anyone who's come to the material world has a demonic streak in him, otherwise he wouldn't be here. And it's only the extreme cases that are, you know, being marked out here as demons, but otherwise, everybody's got this problem, otherwise he's not here in the material world. This is the basic principle of material consciousness. But when that's all there is, then you're a demon. You know, you're in jail,
and still you're thinking about how you're going to overthrow the government. So, Isharoham, I'm in control. Power. That's, you know, the other thing, you know, money is one thing, and just power. How about just the accumulation of power? People get intoxicated on power. Just that. You know, to be in control, to have power. Big goals for those who are in passion, just to have power. Power over your associates, power over your wife,
children.
Power over your children, power over your dog, power over, you know, your corp, power over a country, and aspire for power over the world. The pursuit of power is a huge motivating force for the, especially for the demonic. Power for the sake of power. Even cars, you know, people buy cars, and you know, what is a car? It's basically a tin can with a motor in it for getting from one place to another. But people are sold on, you know, getting, you know, much more expensive cars because the car gives them power. You know, it's got a powerful engine, it's got a powerful this, it's, you know, it's power. You know, motorcycle, round, round, round. You know, it's just how much power you have. And, you know, what are you? Just, you know, an illusioned little brat on a motorcycle with a leather jacket. You know how much power you have. You know, somebody in a little Maruti comes and sideswipes you. It's all over. But, you know, we don't just sell vehicles, we sell power. We don't just sell vehicles, we sell sex. And that, you know, if you get into what's called motivational research, those of you who are looking for a fine career, people who get graduate degrees in psychology don't, unfortunately, universally enter the helping professions where they offer good counsel to unfortunate, messed up people. So many of them enter what's called motivational research, where they use their skills in the service of big, high-paying corporate clients to figure out how to mobilize the basic drives of consumers. The basic drives turn out to be the usual sex, power, and even death wishes. We could get into what goes into advertising sometimes. But in alcohol, one of the drives, if you're selling alcohol, one of the powerful drives is the death wish. People who are the heavy drinkers, who are the guys you want to reach, are the guys who are basically killing themselves. So if you basically what you may come up with in motivational research is selling sex and death, which is a powerful cocktail. Sex, we know, is a powerful motivator. Death is another powerful motivator for these people. And if you put the two together, sex and death, you've really got something to sell. So you've got people with, you know, serious education, using the most advanced techniques known to science to sell people on sex and death. If you want to find some demonic things going on, come to New York City. Within a few square blocks in Upper in Midtown Manhattan, you can find so many things being planned out with just demonic intentions, demonic methods, and demonic intentions. I mean, how demonic do you have to be to sell tobacco to children? Not sell tobacco, but to mount an ad camp, a multi-million dollar ad campaign targeting children with tobacco. How demonic is that? And that's there. I mean, one tobacco company made the stupid mistake of entering into a Canadian court proceeding their marketing plan. When you examine the marketing plan, that's what they were doing. Deliberately targeting. You know, who's seen the Joe Camel ads? Now, who are cartoons aimed at? Of course. Some, the University of California at San Diego, some professors did a study and found that, like, among children, recognition of, I forget who was up front, like the top two recognized characters were Mickey Mouse and the camel. You know, so there's people investing enormous expertise, enormous money, enormous skills in loathsome activities, you know, and loathsome, vicious, vile schemes and plans for accumulating money one way or another. This is going on. I'm in control. I can enjoy. I'm perfect. And, you know, people have these, you know, they may not walk around, I am perfect. But if you could tune into their inner monologue, you know, what their mind is telling themselves, you know, I did pretty well like that. I mean, I think there's no one else in the office who could, you know, pull that off the way I pulled that off. That bastard, you know, what do you think he knows? You know, I acted properly. Why didn't he act properly? Da-da-da-da-da. It's all, you know, puffing themselves up. You know, I did it right. They screwed up. You know, I got my act together. Everybody else is a jerk. I'm an American. You know, what do these savages know? You know, I'm perfect. Siddhoham. Nothing wrong with me, okay? Get it straight. And Balavan, powerful. We talked about power. And Sukhi, I'm happy. With all my power, with all my control, with all my, you know, Janma, Aisharya, Shruta, my education, my aristocratic birth, my good looks, my this, my that. Balavan Sukhi. Here's their mentality. Adyo Abhijanivan Asmi. Adya, I'm wealthy. Adya Abhijanavan, I'm surrounded by aristocratic relatives. One time I happened to take a motor launch across, I forget which body of water, on the Côte d'Azur, southern coast of France. I forget which sun, Saint Maurice or something or other, you know, one of those places in southern France.
Saint Marino?
I forget which one was which. Anyway, there's like little strings of wealthy places down there where the elite of Europe and America and the Gulf and every place hang out. Yeah, you know, like we have Mayapur and Vrindavan, they've got southern France, the Côte d'Azur, the southern coast, Monaco, and all the rest of that. Monaco's only one.
Saint-Tropez.
I think that's one of the places I was, Saint-Tropez, and I was going someplace else to the airport. And you couldn't get through because the cars were so thick, so we had to take a boat. But it was a very interesting cruise because we got to drive past these enormous yachts. Enormous. One bigger than the next. Just huge. And these are, you know, this is just the parking. But, you know, first there's the cost of the yacht. Just to park the damn thing in that exclusive space, you can imagine what the money is. And then, you know, the crew and, which, you know, the maintenance and the... And then the stock it full of liquor and all the rest of it. It's just enormous amounts of wealth. Enormous amounts. I mean, you can't even think about how much wealth that is.
And that may be one of their yachts. You know, they've got another one someplace else, and they've got their executive jet someplace else. I mean, this is a class of people that you don't even see.
They come with helicopters.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even drive by their home, because their home is like set a mile back behind the fence. You know, that kind of money. Just enormous amounts of money. And that's where you find, not only there, but that's where you find the epitome of this mentality. I've got so much, well, you know, and, you know, not obnoxiously, just, you know, man, I'm loaded. And I'm related by marriage to this one, and I'm related by this to that one, and my second cousin is this, and my uncle was that, and my father-in-law is chairman of the board of this, and, you know, just a whole network of aristocracy, wealth, aristocracy. Kon yosti sadrisho maya. Who else is there like me? And it seems ridiculous, you know, but people are absolutely into this. You know, they're showing off their diamonds, they're showing off their, you know, whatever it is that they have. And they're telling themselves, you know, again, the internal monologue is, well, there's no one else quite like me. Because of my brains, because of my looks, because of how many women I've, you know, done, because who I'm related to, because of what position of power I occupy, because of how many men I've killed, or how many business successes I've had, because of how much money I've got invested, because of, you know, this, because of that. Who else is there like me?
Yeah. And also in the sixth application, there's the sixth application. So, these things, in those statements, that this wealth is coming from piety. So
yeah, like wealth comes from piety, but then this mentality comes from misusing the results of your pious activity. This is the problem with piety. By piety, you enjoy, you gain the right to enjoy. And then you enjoy it and screw up your piety, or use up your piety, exhaust your piety. The same thing, you go on, you work like a dog, then you go on vacation, you play the slot machines, or you get drunk, or you know, go see all the shows or whatever it is, and then you're busted and you go back down and work like a slob again. That's what it is. You know, by pious activities, people live, you know, a pious life, and then they take the next birth in an aristocratic family, and they blow all their punya. Now, they don't have to. There are those who you can see that, like, they must have had many, many births of pious activities. So that's also possible, to accumulate piety life after life by not spending it for sense gratification, by continuing to invest it in dharma or Krishna consciousness. But especially in this age, on this planet, not the rule, it's not the exception. The rule is what we hear down here. Who else is there like me? Yakshe, I'll perform some sacrifices, some bogus rituals. Dasyami, I'll give charity. I'll get my name on so many hospitals. Yeah, I'll give to so many. I'll give to, you know, these simple charities, or I'll give for, you know, education. I'll get my, you know, the John Winchester School of such and such and such and such, of demonology, basically, of demonic advancement.
Movie stars, and they, if there's a hurricane, and they all go out to get the
spare man. Yeah, they fall all over one another to be seen, giving charity. So I'll perform sacrifices. I'll give charity. You know, I'm a responsible member of the, you know, that's another great thing about me. I'm a responsible member of the community. And Modisha, in this way I'll enjoy. Ityagana vimohita. In this way they're thoroughly bewildered by ignorance. Ityagana vimohita. Excuse me? Rejoice means hoop it up, means have a great time. Enjoy.
More than enjoy.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Celebrate. Yeah. I'll have a great time.
Which word?
Rejoice.
Modisha, rejoice. Mm. Some other question here?
Sometimes it looks like, for example, some boy, he's a very good boy, and he's actually very nice to me, but later.
By bad association, that can happen. Associate with demons, start to pick up the demonic qualities.
Although before that, you can be a very nice boy.
It's just like Ajamil, very nice boy, but then he got into the association of a prostitute, and he was doing everything. Divorced his wife, ditched his wife, stealing, drinking, addicted to sex, having children one after another into his old age. So by bad association, he lost his good qualities.
Let's talk in the 14th chapter about the modes compete.
Yeah, the modes are competing, so sometimes goodness comes to the top, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance, defeating the others. What was I thinking of also? Yeah, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, asat sanga tyag, a Vaishnava char. Vaishnav behavior is, give up asat sanga, bad association. What is asat sanga? Stri sangi. Association of those who are addicted to women. Not women, but the association of those who are addicted to women. Worse than women. You can associate with a woman, get married, live according to religious principles, but those who are stri sangi, addicted to the association of women. Eka sadhu and Krishna bhakta, those who are against Krishna consciousness. That association should be avoided strictly. Something else?
I don't understand what happened to
you. Huh?
I don't understand why he says happy.
Why he says?
Why he says, you know, the demonic they're happy.
Don't they? My life is so wonderful. Yeah, what was it? Who was that woman who was, she runs a big magazine and she got put in jail. She's a
Oprah?
Big, what's that? Not Oprah, she didn't go to jail, but another one. There was some woman. She has a magazine, and she has so many.
The clothesline.
Clothesline and paint named after her, Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart. So she went to jail because she was caught embezzling some money, or you know, doing some sort of black thing. And so she went to jail, and then she was let out after not too much time, and she wasn't put in such a rough thing. She said, now I'm going to go back to enjoying my beautiful life. My beautiful life. So people want to, you know, they project that image that I'm happy. You see, and you see these people, you know, with wine glasses and big smiles on their face and, you know, hey, baby, I'm having a good time. You stick with me, you're going to have a good time too, because I'm, you know, into being happy. Nothing, there's nothing, you know, no use crying. You know, screw that. Just stick with me and let's have a good time, because that's what life is about, having a good time.
When my father died.
Yeah, you know, they're thoroughly bewildered. Thoroughly bewildered. But, you know, hey, what is happiness? You know, bidding down a different girl every night and trying this and trying that and doing this and doing that.
President Kennedy? Yeah, we were anti-Republican maybe yesterday, but our great Democratic President Kennedy was known by the press corps. You know, he had great press team. So you see these pictures of, you know, him as a great family man and little John playing under the desk while his father is, you know, busy with affairs of state and all of that. Yeah, you know, so the real family picture was, I mean, you had to live through the 60s to know how gaga America was over the Kennedy family. They were just like an ideal family. You know, everybody, you know, to be like the Kennedys was, you know, it was just, you know, a beautiful wife, a good-looking, you know, husband, a devoted father, and he's, you know, president of the United States, and he speaks, you know, profoundly and makes funny, you know, very clever jokes, and, you know, just great. Meanwhile, the press corps, their nickname for him was Mattress Jack. Mattress Jack. Jack was his name, and mattress, like Kashipu. And he thoroughly earned the title.
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, Marilyn Monroe, but even common prostitutes. You know, the first thing after Kennedy was shot, his brother ripped out several pages of the White House visitors' laws, which were public property. I mean, that's a federal offense. But, you know, he destroyed several pages of it because they would have shown all sorts of visitors in the, you know, deep hours of the night, you know, with female names visiting the president.
What are the
devices? You know, so, but, you know, what is happiness? Happiness is being able to go to bed with Marilyn Monroe, you know, every man's dream. And I'm the president, so, you know, it comes with the job.
So what are the devices say? You know, you have to be optimistic. You can't. They say, oh, you know, this is, I'm stuck here.
Yeah, optimistic. Well, I'm going to die soon. We'll chant Hare Krishna, and those who are fortunate will be attracted, and they'll take up a godly life. Even those who are demonic, Harinam is so powerful that even demons, that who was that? That Mrigari, who was taking pleasure in half killing animals, became nice devotee. So we're optimistic from that point of view that this process is so nice that if people take to it, their hearts can change. And some people will take them. Some people won't. What can be done? We'll hear about more about them. But fortunate persons can take advantage. Krunavatir Nakalo. For that purpose, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended in Kali Yuga to give his mercy and give people this opportunity. Okay? But we're over time. So we'll meet again at, I guess, 4:30. In the palatial suites. Yeah, we'll meet again at 4:30 there. Hare Krishna.
Jai Sai Maharaj ki
jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Prabhupada
ki jai. My father was at his funeral. Mm-hmm. You know, they have his picture and a...
Yes, yes.
He's holding a wine glass.
Oh my God. Wow. Again, I'll be nice.